Now, the headlines and the news is full of Donald Trump and the issue, particularly over the last 24 hours, lots of reports coming out about his repeated designs on Greenland, the Danish controlled territory, that he fears that this is in their what's called sphere of influence now, and it's strategically important for the United States for its own national security, and that that is part of the reason why he feels, and he's not ruling out military action in relation to the situation. If you have your own view on this, get in touch with us on the programme. But of course, ever since last Saturday, and last Saturday seems like a long time ago now in the context of what's been happening since, and the abduction of the Venezuelan president Nicolas Maduro, and he's charging in a New York court on Monday. Donald Trump has been talking with several countries, including several South American countries. Donald Trump and his Colombian counterpart have turned up the volume in their war of words over the last number of days, further raising tensions between the two countries after, of course, the US attacked Venezuela. By the way, 80 people killed in that attack, 24 members of the Venezuelan security forces, and I think a number of Cubans who were guarding Nicolas Maduro as well. So there was a human cost to all of that action at the weekend. Speaking to reporters in Air Force One on Sunday, the US president threatened similar military action against Colombia, saying the South American country is very sick too and run by a sick man who likes making cocaine and selling it to the United States. And the president, Gustavo Petro, who was elected in 2022, has been saying that he will take up arms again if the US invades, and described what is happening as naked imperialism on behalf of the United States. So with me on the line to talk about this is Deputy Pat Daly of Sinn Féin, a man who has experience and was in Colombia a number of years ago. Pat, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Yeah, good morning, Jerry.
Listen, I suppose, have you been as taken aback as everybody else by what has happened and just the rhetoric coming out from the United States administration in relation to how it wants to run things in its part of the world?
Yeah, well, you're right in saying that Saturday does seem like a long time ago, and the situation seems to be changing hourly. And I'm glad to hear that you referred to the President Maduro's kidnapping as an abduction, because it seems that other media outlets, I think the BBC, are banned from calling it an abduction or a kidnapping. NRT, I think, are using a seizure, which is a very, very neutral term. But it has been a clear breach of international law. It seems to be the end of the transatlantic cooperation, which had respect for sovereignty and national borders. And the EU is in serious danger of being a bystander in these type of international affairs. And the approach of the EU to the kidnapping or the abduction of Maduro is a very strange approach. The Irish government's approach has been confused, I think, and very vague. And I think that everybody knows that any mention of drugs is really, as was described on one outlet, a legal fig leaf. It's not about drugs. And I thought it was, I nearly felt sorry for Micheál Martin on Taoiseach, who felt that he had to mention narco, the word narco or narco-terrorism in his comments, because does he really need to be the best boy in the class to parrot the lines and or the sloganeering of the US president? And we need, as a country, to be like many in the US opposition. We need to be critical, but cordial, and we need to have a firm, clear view, like, let's say, we have with Putin and the Ukraine situation. Because if we don't, there's going to be, and if the EU doesn't, it's going to be an encouragement to despots, encouragement to Putin. You know, what's China going to do in relation to Taiwan, for example? This is all about oil, and you're correct to say that I did travel to Colombia nearly 25 years ago now on four or five different occasions. And, you know, that was part of the US were saying at the time that there was a war on drugs taking place. And I remember we were observing a trial there, and you usually stayed in the city centre in Bogota, but on one occasion when we were travelling to see one part of the trial up in Medellin, We stayed in a different hotel near the airport, and every single person at the breakfast in the breakfast room, apart from staff, were U.S. Army, and they had their they were in full uniform. Most of them, I remember, in fact, a few Kerry names. There was a fellow called Keane there with the U.S. Army, and they were fairly high level. And at the time, Donald Rumsfeld, who was the Secretary of Defense in the U.S., he had contacts or good relationships with Occidental Oil. And Occidental had built an oil pipeline, wisely or unwisely, in Colombia to ensure that the oil got out quickly. And one of the paramilitary groups there had bombed it 170 times in 1 year. So it was out 266 days in the year. But the U.S., following intensive lobbying from Occidental, and that's all on the public record, they spent over $90 million reinforcing that line. And the first time that we went to Colombia, the profit of Occidental Colombia was $22 million. By the time we left and the oil line was secured, it was $220 million, and that was less than 18 months later. So everybody knows that this is all about not just oil on a global scale. It's about dominance. It's about power. And as we saw with Donald Trump's own, at least Donald Trump is being blatant about it, and he's not hiding really behind anything else. We saw in Ukraine, it's about precious metals. It's about resources. It's about big business for the U.S. And similarly with Greenland, and it's very worrying that military strikes or military action has not been ruled out in Greenland. It's about the resources in the Arctic and getting in there first and making sure that nobody else is able to do it. So the future seems to be, unless he's challenged strongly enough, regional spheres of influence, with China, with Russia, and with the U.S. And unfortunately, that doesn't usually bode well on an
for smaller countries. Yeah. But that's my question. You were in Colombia 25 years ago. It's a much different country now. It's on a path of economic growth. It's trying to promote its tourism. It still has an issue on its borders. Still has a massive issue with cocaine production and exportation. And the current president has been taking a less hard line as part of a way of trying to develop the economy and not get bogged down in violent altercations with different groups. That might change because of election coming in August, but at the same time, there's a long and sad history of US intervention, both in an overt and a clandestine way in South American countries, and it never bodes well for the people of those countries. So would you be concerned that Colombia, which has a very violent past and has had a lot of trouble, that finally turning things around will be affected by this if something does happen?
Very concerned. The president since 2022 has been doing a good job. He's more democratic. Colombia is a country that has everything. It has massive natural resources, sugar, rum, coffee, oil, of course, and huge tourism because it has a border on the Pacific and in the Caribbean also. But my brother lived in Nigeria for a couple of years, and he was standing one day beside a small lake, and he met a local man, and the Nigerian man told him, he said that when you see two fish fighting in the lake, then you know that the British have just left. And that's the legacy of colonialism, and that's what could happen in Colombia also, and in many of the other countries where the US, they come in, they want clearly. They're not interested in the people. They're interested in securing the profits, and Trump has been blatant about this, of the oil companies. When we were there, there was three or four different groups. You had the FARC, you had the ELN, you had the paramilitary groups, which are involved in, by the way, kidnapping and murdering trade union activists who were campaigning. The current president, who was validly elected, has done a good job in keeping all this under control. There was a peace process in place, which was relatively successful, albeit slow. And there is a serious danger that the fig leaf of narco and drugs could be used again in the rush to get in there and use the massive oil resources that
the resources of what's happened. Just on that though, are Sinn Féin, have you taken sides on this? Maybe an anti-American stance? I mean, there was a Sinn Féin delegation at Maduro's recent inauguration, and we've seen the criticism that's been there from several different groups now about the legitimacy of that presidency.
Yeah, well, I think that Maduro, you know, there are of course serious question marks about the election of many people, many presidents, and around the world, and you know, the need for election observers is obviously crucial. But that doesn't mean that we can't criticise what is a clear breach of international law if we see that it has taken place, and clearly that is the case. Obviously, there's, you know, for centuries, we have, for generations, we have a good relationship through family ties, through political ties, through business ties with the USA. But that doesn't mean that we can't be strong in criticism where we see that something is clearly worrying, clearly a bad precedent to be set, not only for the US, not only for Greenland, Mexico. And Mexico, by the way, you know, there's a lot of drugs like fentanyl comes in to over the borders to the USA, but they don't have the resources and they don't seem to be in the target line as much as the Greenlands and the Colombias. So this is all about a blatant power grab, resource grab. And, you know, if we stay silent on this and, you know, use the lines that Trump's spokespersons have been using, well, I think we will rue the day, and the EU in particular will rue the day, because their approach, it's obviously they were caught completely by surprise about what happened, but as we saw it with the beginning of the attacks in following the October 7th in Israel Palestine, you know, the approach to the EU has been first not to offend supposed allies, and that was not the approach by van der Leyen was not
that
good.
That didn't go well,
And we need to be out from the front and call it out. And, you know, going in, and I didn't realize it was as many as 80 people killed until you mentioned it there, Jerry. But, if that is what happened, if it has been a clear abduction, well, then there's nothing wrong with saying that it was, and a different approach can be made. And I think that, you know, the recent statement this morning by Taoiseach in China, that the approach to Greenland, you know, the US going in militarily is not realistic. I mean, for God's sake, that's very, very mild.
How realistic was what happened on Saturday before it happened, I suppose. Deputy, exactly. Final point, final question. You're Sinn Féin, you're having your thinking today in Dublin, I think. You're also going to be attending, and representatives probably attend, a major protest against the EU Mercosur deal in Athlone on Saturday. It's looking low following, you know, negotiated agreements and safeguards being put in place, that this deal will get the go ahead and the vote will go through on Friday. Obviously, you're not happy.
Yes, and you know, yet another one of the promises that were made by the government in the run up to the election at the end of 2024, you know, as well as obviously the false statements about how much housing was going to be built. They said that they were opposed to Mercosur. There has been, you know, they keep talking about the deal that was done with nitrates and that, but this is a much bigger, and it's following intense lobbying by German car manufacturers, etc. Farmers that I'm speaking to are not happy with this. They are not happy with all the efforts that they are making to have their beef traceable, and you know, the amount of work that they are doing to make sure that it's good, it's clean, it's for market, and now that is going to be undermined by something that most farmers groups that I'm speaking to are unopposed, and most ordinary people who have a sense of fairness, that this, I mean, they're talking about 100,000 tons, but that's only a wedge. And, you know, what farmers fear is that is only the beginning of massive importation.
So you wouldn't agree with the government and Micheál Martin when he says, look, significant safeguards have been put in place. They've been negotiated the last 12 months. We will not see a flooding of Brazilian beef. And pointing to the reality in the United Kingdom, when they left Europe, there was a fear that Irish beef over there would drop off the map because that market would be flooded by cheap, dodgy Brazilian beef, we call it that, in terms of antibiotics and how it's prepared and the standards that are there. The EU are saying, no, anything that comes in will have to comply with our standards before it comes in. And we didn't see what happened in the UK coming to fruition, despite the fears of farmers. You're saying that's not the case here. It's going to be worse.
I believe that, and many farmers groups that I'm speaking to, nobody else, no one has contradicted this in the farming organisations, particularly the beef farmers. They feel that this is only the beginning of much more undermining of all the work that they have been doing and all the testing and traceability studies that they have to undertake. That this is only the beginning of a much larger of the markets being flooded and their costs being undermined by cheap. And I don't think the government. I think the government always intended to do this because immediately after government formation. They softened their approach to opposition, but I think there's going to be a huge crowd, and they can test the water and test the mettle of the public and what opposition is there by the attendance that there will be
in Athlone on Saturday.
In Athlone on Saturday morning. Yeah.
All right, okay, we're going to have to leave it there. It's Deputy Pat Daly speaking about those issues. If you have a view on what he had to say in it, get in touch with us on the programme on 0667 123 666.